Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Luke. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are a number of anointing stories in the Gospels. They are some of my favorite image. They all involve a woman. The other Gospels talk about the cost of the oil and how expensive it was. And the other Gospels put this story at the end of Jesus' life as a way of saying that he is being prepared for burial. But Luke's version is different. It comes at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You have to imagine that their houses were not like ours. They were open. They had pillars. People could come around and stand. And as people dined, outsiders would come and watch. These were symposiums. Jesus probably, when he took his place at the table, was lounging. And they were having debates. The gathering had a purpose. A lot of times people would come together for these rhetorical debates, the symposiums, and theological questions would be asked, and as they dined, they would discuss them. A woman, and as Luke makes clear, a sinner, walks into this setting, supposedly uninvited, and begins what is one of the most intimate gestures there is, touching someone's feet. If Jesus was reclining, her face would be almost eye level with his face. And in this symposium setting, the host of this gathering judges Jesus as someone who does not intuitively know that this woman should not be touching him. If this man was a prophet, it says, he would know that this woman was a sinner. If Jesus is as important as some say, if he should give any weight to any of his teachings, Simon is thinking he should know better than to let this woman get close to him. Now the story tells us that Jesus sort of knows what Simon is thinking. He probably could just see it on his face. and he poses a question to him. When two debtors couldn't pay 550 denarii, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Well, Simon's no dummy. He says, the one whose debt was greater, of course. But then Jesus finishes this rhetorical argument by describing his experience when he entered Simon's house. He lays out for Simon which person has actually shown him the greatest love. Not because Simon's love is puny after being forgiven little, and the woman's love is lavish after being forgiven much. Rather, it is the one that is forgiven much that loves greatly the one who remitted the debt. And then he asks the pivotal question, the question that is actually, I think, at the core of all of Jesus's gospel, a question that it's so profound and so deep, it could so easily be missed in the reading. Do you see this woman? What Jesus is asking of Simon is, he's saying, do you see her sin? Do you see her compassion for Jesus? Do you see that she is asking for forgiveness? Do you see her humility? Do you see how she responds to me? Do you see this woman the way I see her? When I read the story many years ago, I saw that line. And when I saw, do you see this woman, I could hear Jesus asking Simon, do you see me? Because Simon needed to see the woman as Jesus saw her in order to see Jesus at all. Simon is being offered the opportunity to remove one more veil of mystery and understand God through Jesus' eyes. Simon's fate actually rests on whether he can see the woman as Jesus sees him. So many of the modern translators, when you look up this story in the Bible, whether it's the NRSV or the NIV or any of the other ones, they have categorized at the beginning of the text things like the pardon of a sinful woman, the woman who was a sinner, a sinful woman forgiven. None seems to want to title the story the way Jesus saw her, a woman who shows great love. What could Simon have done in that moment to accept this gift of revelation? He was being offered a gift of revelation. But Simon was blind to her true identity, the soul of this woman he had no idea, nor did he want to know. And the distance between his world and hers was a great chasm. They could have only been as far as from me to Karen, but the distance was huge. Though he stood across the room from her, he could not reach her in the way that he was standing there in his home. To understand her story and her response to God's grace in her life, Simon would have had to cross that room. He would have had to close that distance, and he would have had to open his eyes to what was not readily seen. Simon would have had to know her story. Each of us carries a story inside us. The story that the world may not know about how we have come to this place in our life. If we each sat and told each other, here's how I have gotten to this place, I guarantee you we would be surprised. The question being posed to Simon is being asked of us every single day by Jesus. Do you see this woman? Do you see this man? Do you see this child? Each and every day, the invisible stories of people all around us are hidden from view. And we make judgments about people, all of us do it, because we can only see what is on the surface. We have no idea. We are blind to who they are deep in their souls. and the distance between us and their world is a vast chasm that sometimes feels impossible to cross. But removing the blinders and making that long walk across the room is exactly what Jesus came to ask us to do. Do you see this woman? He is asking us to make visible the invisible. And how many people in this world are invisible? How many of you have seen the movie Avatar? How many of you have seen it 5 times? Oh. In that movie, they do not say, "I love you." They say, "I see you. I see you." It is when we see that we exist. It is when you see me, you bring me into existence. When Simon House was a baby, the little boy with the bicycle helmet he won't take off, when Christina went back to work, she said when she came in the house and he saw her again at the end of the day, it was like he was saying, "You exist again. You exist again. I see you." Do you see this woman? Jesus asks. This is not a story about a bad woman or a good woman and a bad man or a good man. We don't know what happened to her when she left that room, and we don't know how Simon responded. The story doesn't tell us. This is a story of redemption. It is a story of forgiveness. It is a story of our salvation, ours and the world. And it is asking us the question, who is across the room from where you stand? Whose story are you blind to? Is it the poor? Is it the criminal, the homeless, the hungry, the mentally ill? Is it all the groups that we listen to about on the news, the Muslim, the Jew, the atheist, the gay and lesbians, all the people of color? Or maybe it's a family member or a coworker. The first question is, whose story do you need to know? Whose story do you need to ask and seek out by walking across the room and closing the distance between you and them? The second question is, who are you in the story? I think each day it's different, don't you? Some days on the really good days, on a really good day, we're Jesus. We point out that there are people who are across the room, and we work as Christians to help make that distance smaller. Some days, brothers and sisters, we are Simon. We cannot see. We cannot see the other person. We only judge from the outside. But every day, and all the time, we are the woman. Because we have been offered love and forgiveness at every turn. And God does know our story and forgives our sin. And we are to come to Christ on our hands and knees with gratitude to wash the feet of the dust of the difficult road he walked for us. We are to kiss his feet and dry them with our tears. We are to be thankful because the words are always there. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen.